Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Have in the studio Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
We're blessed.
That's right. I know Sheila G is taking care of Miss Jessie today, and we'll definitely keep her in prayer. So let us get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be working that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We left off in chapter 12 of the book of Matthew on the last time we were together. And we were talking about how Jesus was encountering the Pharisees or the religious rulers of that day, and how they had a problem with him healing, had a problem with him casting out demons, having a problem with him, his disciples eating or working on the Sabbath. And in the conversation that he had with the Pharisees in chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." And in verse 26, it says, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you." And so what the situation was he was telling them that, you know, you can make all kinds of situations where or excuses where, you know, oh, that's not real, oh, that's not right, or, you know, that's not God, or we think that's God, but that's not God. And saying, you know, all kind of things or excuses. But the reality is that God is come to us. He's presented himself. He's come out in the open, and he's presented us to himself. He said, the kingdom of God is coming to you. And Dr. G, there's not going to be any excuse for anyone that says that they don't know God, didn't know God, or God didn't present themselves to them.
Amen.
And here he's telling them, you can't, you know, if you're divided against yourself, or the kingdom is divided against itself, it's going to fall. If I'm casting out demons in the name of demons, then I'm going to be divided. But if I'm casting them out in the name of God, then this is what we should believe. And so this was a sticking point. This is an ugly point in the lives of the Pharisees and the religious rulers, where they were actually saying that God was not God, or comparing God to Satan, which is, I think, is one of the most terrible things that anyone can do, is to say that God is Satan.
Amen.
That he's not casting out in the name of love, in the name of his character, or in the name of a creator, a loving creator, but to say that he's doing this in the name of Satan. It shows it's vile, and it shows how terrible sin, what sin can do to people when they feel threatened, or when they feel like they're going to lose power. They'll lash out, they'll say anything, they'll do anything,
mm-hmm.
and they'll actually deny the power and the presence of God.
Amen.
And it's there's nothing new under the sun. Folk still do the same thing.
Amen.
They lash out at people when things don't go their way. They're here, they're there, they're all over the place. But Jesus has this conversation, and he's saying, the kingdom of God has come to you.
Amen.
How are you going to deny God when you see in nature, and you see what God has done in your life? How are you going to deny him? And here he's performing miracles right out in the open, right in their face, and they say, yeah, that's a miracle. You healed that guy, but you did it in the name of the devil. And so they're equating God with the devil. And you know, there's two powerful verses in this scripture, and it talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at those. And the fine line between blaspheming the Holy Spirit and God saying that there is no, you can't be forgiven for that. In other words, when you're telling people that there is no God, and that God is not God, and that his spirit is not God, he has some strong words to say here. Let's look down in verse 28. He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And so in verse 29, it says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So in other words, you can't make progress until you take out the opposition. And so Satan's not going to take out Satan. So you have to bind the strong man in order to advance. And so what God, through this action by Jesus, he's showing them that he's not doing it in the name of Satan, but he's doing it in the name of God to bind up the demons so that God's program and his plan can go forward. But when you look at what he says in verse 30, he says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gather not with me scatter abroad. So again, it's like there's no gray area. Some people like to play both sides of the street, say this to this group over here, especially I laugh at the politicians.
Amen.
Politicians will tell, if you're on A Street, they'll tell you, H Street is the greatest.
That's right.
And then you go over to B Street, then they tell you B Street is the greatest.
All right.
And then if you circle around to C Street, they'll tell you the C Street is the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And they're back and forth. And God says, if you're with me, you're with me, but if you're not, you're scattering abroad. And so we have to understand that there's no gray area with God.
Amen.
You either going to believe him or you're not.
Amen.
Dr. G?
I agree with you. And, you know, it's something that we as a people need to understand more and more, especially in this day and time. Either you're going to put the Lord, or you might as well go and enjoy yourself, because you're going to go the other direction. Either you are or you're not. A preacher came one Sunday, and he was saying, you know, either you're going to serve the Lord or you're not. It's that simple. And pretty much the same thing. There is no gray area.
No, there's no gray
in
area
between, you know, I'll go here, for right now. And then when things get to the point where I'm ready to jump back on the bandwagon, then I'll go over here. And a lot of people seem to think that, okay, well, I'm going to do my dirt until the Lord calls me home. And then just before I close my eyes, I'll get right with him.
Right at the last second.
But it don't work like that.
So again, I think this is one of the most troubling things is to call God Satan. I don't know. That's just me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's troubling for you to see a loving and caring God that
Amen.
Wants the best for you, and you to be so arrogant and so pompous to say, no, that's not God. That's Satan. That's so selfish and so uncaring. And I think we have to be careful that we don't behave in such a manner to see the things of God and just take for granted that that's not him. And so Jesus, and this is the words of Christ in this next verse, verse 31, he says, wherefore I say unto you, this is Matthew 12, verse 31. He says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blaspheme shall be forgiven unto men. In other words, he's saying all kind of stuff can be forgiven unto men, blaspheming and sin, you know. But he goes on to further with this but. He says, but the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. This is got to be so, I mean, it's so shocking to say that there is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
That God would, that is so
yes.
bad that he would categorize it as unforgivable.
Thank you.
That that ought to get everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is that they were trying to equate Jesus, or the works of the Spirit, with Satan.
Well, you know, but you talk about the Pharisees, that their whole thing, they didn't want to see Jesus as the Messiah because he was going to come down and interfere with what they had going. And to get to that point where you're so brash and you're so bold that it's all about us, you know, it's all about my position, that, you know, you're going to go to that extent. And it really shows
mm-hmm,
us
mm-hmm.
where their mindset was. You know, it wasn't about serving God. It really wasn't about serving the people. It was about serving themselves.
And you know, fast forward that to today,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is the gifting that God has given to the church. A lot of times, people will use that for their own personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, their modus operandi, their motive is not for God, but their motive is for themselves. And so, in fact, they are working for Satan. They
mm-hmm.
are working for the enemy
mm-hmm.
because it's all about them. It's all about, you know, what I can get out of it, how I can manipulate this situation in the church, or how I can manipulate this. And so in today's looking at this, you know, we're actually saying, okay, when I do it my way, it's better than doing it God's way. And so we're not giving credit to God. And so just like the Pharisees weren't giving credit to God, a lot of times in modern day and today in our ministry, we don't give credit to God because
Amen.
It's about me. And if it wasn't for me,
That's
this
right.
wouldn't happen. If it wasn't for me, then this is my ministry, and this
mm-hmm.
is what I do in my ministry. And if I didn't do this or if I didn't do this, the church wouldn't be able to have
Hello.
This or the church
Hello.
Wouldn't be able to have this. And so in actuality, we're saying the same thing, is that's not God, but that's me.
Amen.
In other words, God needs me to do this.
Hello.
Instead of me needing God
Amen.
To do it.
Amen. And, you know, my mind is just going because as leaders, we have to be careful as to how we carry ourselves.
Absolutely.
Too many of these pastors, bishops, whatever they call themselves, you know, it's me, my church. No, I'd say that's the Lord's church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not my church. He just put me as the overseer. And my will has got to be to do his will. And if the church is blessed, God has to get the glory.
There you
because
go.
Without him, I can do nothing.
And it's plain to see. It's plain to see. And, you know, that's that unforgivable thing of sin is saying that, you know, God is operating like Satan, and that, you know, this thing is not of God. It's so, you got to be so careful. You got to be, I mean, it's like you really have to know for yourself who God is, because you can get caught up in it. And these Pharisees, they got caught up in being important and being in charge and being in leadership. And, you know, the same humanness is the same humanness back then is that we have today, is that we have to be careful. We have to stay humble. Mm. We have to stay focused. We have to stay in a position where we are truly acknowledging God, that this is not me, but this is God, and that I can, like you said, I can do these things through God. It's God that gives me the strength. And just be wary, because we don't want to be in that same vein as those Pharisees that, you know, the way we carry ourselves in ministry is that we're taking the credit away or the glory away from God.
Amen.
And God deserves all the glory.
That's
We shouldn't be trying to take anything away from him, because when we do, it becomes us and not him. And you know, this is what they were doing back then. Let's look at this second part of this verse in chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither into the world to come." This is some serious
That's
stuff.
Rough.
Some serious stuff. When you understand, you know, Jesus, every part of the Trinity has a role to play. The Father draws, the Son seals, and the Spirit makes free. When you see the role of the Trinity and the Father drawing and the Son making free and the Spirit seals, when you see him saying that the blaspheme against the Son shall be forgiven, but the word against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. It's other words, is the triune God is complete with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is active, playing an active role in the world that is of today's, what's going on today, the modern society, when you reject him, it's like you're rejecting God.
Amen.
And when you reject God through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the presence of Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. And so the fleshly, when Jesus is the fleshly, you could say something, but when the Spirit is here, and the Spirit is what's here that to touch the hearts and convince the hearts and convert people, when you say that that's not God, and you reject the Spirit, because we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we were dead and spiritually dead, and so when you reject the Spirit who can bring us back to life or quicken us, then basically we remain dead.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, the Bible says that we need to try the spirits by the spirits to see if it is of God, because everything walking there, they are evil spirits that pretend to be God. But we as Christians, and that's why we've got to make sure of what we're following and who we're following, and we need to know what Christ teaches us in that word. So we need to know what the word says. But, you know, you've got to try the spirit by the spirit to make sure it is of God.
And you have different interpretations, and you can go to 20 different Bibles, and there'll be 20 different interpretations on these last two verses.
Amen.
But if you look at what it's saying, it's saying that the Spirit, which quickens, which brings you back to life, when you were dead in trespasses and sin, it's the Spirit's work that brings you back to life. And so if you talk about the Spirit that brings you back to life, then you are not accepting the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're not accepting that final piece of being sealed. We're sealed until the day of redemption. And you're really saying, okay, that's not real. And a lot of times people, Dr. G, when we pray, when we speak the word or we preach, they'll say, oh, that's just them. instead of saying that's the spirit that's using them
Amen.
To do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so people deny the spirit.
Amen.
They deny that God has given gifts to the church, and people operate in the church as the body of Christ through the power of the spirit. And so when you say that there's a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you deny the body of Christ. You're denying the work of the spirit of God in people. You're denying that people can be converted and be born again.
Amen.
And if you say you can't be born again, you're going to stay dead.
That's right. That's right. And when you get to the point where you deny the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're really not walking and talking in Christ as you should. So, as you said, you are still dead in your trespasses. And anything dead ought to be buried. Still going to get it real.
Amen. So these, like I said, these two verses, they're very strong verses, and you have to really understand that there's a danger
mm-hmm.
in denying the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But in particularly the Spirit that quickens you. When you realize that God said in His Word, He said that He formed man out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed. Into his nostrils, he became a living soul.
Amen.
Man is going to live forever.
Hello.
Either with God or separated
God.
From God.
That's right.
You're going to live. We're going to live forever, Dr. G. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be either with God or separated from God. And we have to understand that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that we died spiritually. We died spiritually because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and we were born in sin. And shaping in iniquity, and we were born spiritually dead. And the only thing that's going to bring us back or quicken us is the Holy Spirit. And so when we deny the Holy Spirit or blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then that puts us in a position where we can't be born or brought back to life again.
Amen. And, you know, when you consider all that the Holy Spirit does in this day and time, I mean, without the Holy Spirit, your heart can't be changed. Without the Spirit, you can't move and do the things that you need to do. And you know, a lot of times we forget that God had a plan to, like you said, the Father draws, the Son sets us free, and the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. And when Jesus left,
mm-hmm.
He said, I'll send you another comforter.
That's right.
Now, without the power of the Holy Spirit in us, there is no change. There's no difference in us. And if there's a change taking place, it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But we've got to allow that Spirit to move in us.
Amen. And when Jesus came for his earthly ministry, in order to deal with the temptations and the struggles
mm-hmm.
of ministry, he was baptized.
Amen.
And when he was baptized, the Bible said he came straightway out of the water.
Amen.
And the Spirit lightened upon him.
Amen.
Like a dove. In other words, it was the Spirit that allowed him to be God and man at the same time.
Amen.
To be able to finish this like a 3-year earthly ministry
mm-hmm.
Where he went toe-to-toe with everyone,
mm.
Temptation and everything, but it was the Spirit. And so when the Spirit of God is effective in our life, that's how we can have effective ministry.
That's right.
But if we get to the place where we think it's us
Hello.
And not the Spirit that's in us,
mm-hmm.
that's where ministry is not effective.
And, you know, with that, too, when you think of what Christ went through, you know, the whole leading up to the cross, the beating, the whipping, all of that, and then being nailed to the cross, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that
Amen.
Enabled him to go through, because at that point, he was flesh.
Yeah.
And it was the Holy Spirit in him that helped him to endure. You know, on the cross, those 7 heads were his Father, forgive them.
Oh, my God.
They know not what they're. How many of us,
oh my God.
We get attacked and going to forgive somebody? I mean, you know, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are to grow and we strive to be like Jesus, so that when men do offend us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can forgive them. And without that power, without the Spirit of God here, there's no way in the world we could do anything with to help ourselves.
Amen. And that whole word forgiven, that whole word forgiveness.
Mm.
And in these two verses, Jesus said that this is not forgiven. Like I said, this is a long going debate that Jesus died for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Why is this one not forgiven?
Come on.
But the Bible, he just says, because you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We can go to all kind of interpretations, but what the word says is, because you blaspheme against the Holy
Spirit. Amen.
That's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would pray that people would ask God that they would help them to never blaspheme against the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But like you said, what is dead needs to be buried. If it's dead, it's dead. God knows who's going to accept salvation, and God knows who's going to reject salvation. And those who reject salvation are the ones who would reject the Holy Spirit. And so this is the predestinate. Predestination, in other words, God already knows who's going to be saved, so he can call even before they get saved.
Amen.
So when we was out cutting the rug, doing whatever we wanted to, God still knew that there was going to come a day that we were going to accept him as Lord and Savior for our lives.
Amen.
So he was already predestined that we were going to be saved. And so before we even got saved, God knew it, and he could even call us a holy royal priesthood, a holy nation, even that while we were yet in sin, he died for the ungodly. And he knows those who are going to accept it. He knows those who are going to reject it.
Amen.
But these two verses are scary, man. It's like, who's going to do this and say that you know, blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? And I'm sure there have been many who have done it, and the consequences are dire.
Amen.
Dire. And so then he goes on in verse 33, and he gets into this thing of evidence. And that's the thing about evidence. Evidence is something that by its nature, it lets you know what the truth is. Evidence. And a lot of times in judicial settings and in courtrooms, someone cannot be acquitted or convicted not unless the evidence points to their acquittal or their conviction. And evidence is critical. And so when we look at verse 32, Jesus is talking about evidence. In other words, what you can see. A lot of times people can fake the funk for a little while, Dr. G.
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, it'll start stinking.
Amen.
So Jesus used the example of agricultural type of example. He was speaking in a parable or dealing with nature. So in verse 32, he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. So you can tell if you're either acting by the Spirit,
amen,
or you're not acting by the Spirit. Or you can act like a child of God,
right,
or you're not acting like a child of God. I know when we were growing up, our parents would tell us, act like you got some home training.
Amen.
When you got out, if you acted like a fool, the evidence was that you weren't acting like you had home training.
Amen.
And if you continue to act like you had home, didn't have home training, when you got home, you got trained.
Come on now. Come on.
I don't know what kind of training some other folk got, but we had one of them. We had a father. Our father had one of those belts in the closet, and he lined us up in the hallway. And the oldest would get the most. And by the time he got to me, I was the youngest. I just get on in there, boy, and I act like I got beat. But that was the training you got.
Yeah.
But you should know the fruit by the tree that the tree by the fruit that it bears. If it's an apple tree, it shouldn't be bearing pears.
Come on now, come on.
If it's a grapefruit tree, it shouldn't be bearing oranges.
Amen.
It's an apple tree, it shouldn't be bearing pears. And what he's saying is that you should be able to see. You should, like you said, Dr. G, you should be able to try the Spirit by the Spirit, see if it's of God. See if they be of God. You should be able to see. And we as Christians, we should be able to demonstrate in our daily walk that we're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen.
It takes some time to get there.
It does.
Because we
it
still
does.
Live in the flesh.
Amen.
But the way we cussed people out 10 years ago,
come on,
shouldn't be the way we're cussing people out. This.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
There should be a few less cuss words.
That's right.
A little more grace, a little more patience, a little more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Than it was 10 years ago. Because I know 10 years ago, some folk were off the chain.
Tell it. Tell it.
Say something to them in church, and you're going to get cussed out in church. Right there in the pew. Right there in the aisle. They're going to give it to you.
Amen.
Bam. But he said, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. So he's saying, God through the Spirit is healing, is teaching, is showing you that the kingdom of God is at hand. What else do you need to realize that this is God's Son?
Amen.
That these are the miracles of God, that this is the presence of God's Spirit. What else do we? What else does God have to show us,
my Lord,
to for us to realize this is God?
Amen. And, you know, I was sitting here, you were talking about that tree and the fruit. Jessica came home one day this week, and she was sharing with us. I think she had a substitute at school, and she get that girl always talking. But she and the teacher got to talking, and the substitute was saying that there's something about her. You know, even before she told them that she was a PK kid, and people are always talking about there's something in your spirit that's different.
Yeah.
That shows that you were brought up by a good family. You know, you got home training.
Yes.
And people can see that even in our kids by the way that we act. And too often, you know, we're living in a time now, and you look at all of the junk that's going on. The kids are acting crazy. They're killing each other out here. You know, and my question is, where are the parents?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of home training is being taught? So that verse is very real that, you know, people can tell what type of tree you are by the fruit that you bear. And it's so real.
And you can see in your everyday life, you can walk and you can talk to certain people and you can tell that they're walking in the spirit.
Yes.
There's something different.
There's something different.
We're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There's something different. There's certain things that you're not going to say that you're not going to do. Especially as a mature Christian, you're going to try with the aid of the Holy Spirit to not act like a fool.
Amen.
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 You're going to try. Not going to say you're going to succeed all the time.
Amen.
But we're gonna try to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying not to go off. We're gonna try to diffuse the situation.
Amen.
We're gonna try to look at it in a different way. We're gonna try to keep our mouth closed. If we don't have anything good to say, we just gonna keep quiet.
Amen.
But a lot of times you can walk and you can see people on your job or people on this floor, or people are in the store or whatever, and you can tell that there's something different about them.
Amen.
That the Spirit of God is moving and working inside of them. And when situations come up, they say, I'm going to pray, or we're going to turn this over to the Lord, or it's not a time to be playing. It's time to be serious. And when you start seeing and being around those people, it's like a kindred spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people are real. You can tell the folks that are faking.
Oh, yeah.
And the folks that are immature, you can tell just by the fruit that they're bearing. And if they're bearing fruit of the world, you say, yep, they're in the church, but they're acting like the world. That's the fruit that they're bearing.
Come on.
And you know, it's quite obvious that they're bearing fruit. And that's what cracks me up, Dr. G, with preachers. You can tell preachers who've been called, and you can tell the ones who are perpetrating the fraud.
Amen.
Because they're not bearing fruit.
They
just acting up and
putting on the show.
Thought that they, well, let me try preaching.
You
know, I think they're going to try it. Let me pick this up and try it. Like they're trying on clothes in a department store or online. They're clicking stuff to order, you know, online. Let me try this. Well, let me try to be a preacher. He's like Gregory, Dr. G, he does it, okay? I know I can do it better than him.
Uh-huh.
Let me click this, get a robe, click this, get a Bible, and I'm going into preaching.
Come on now. Come on. Amen. You know, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen.
And it'll show.
And it will show. Just like with anything else in our lives. We're at the dinner table tonight. And Sheila was telling yesterday, she remember, I think when she was in elementary school, and some little boys were always picking with her. And instead of getting mad that this was when she was younger, she just told the little boy, you need Jesus.
I know, that's right, Jesse.
Fast forward to where she is now.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it takes a little bit for the spirit to take control, so she's ready to fight now. But after she gets control of herself,
yeah,
then comes, you need Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
After she done whipped your butt.
but that's that's the thing. Is the spirit's not going to force himself on her.
Nope.
We have to allow him.
Hello. Hello.
I'm going to say that again. We have to allow the spirit to work in our lives.
Mm-mm.
Because we can allow the flesh to act up too.
Amen. That part is easy.
Hey, man, we can allow the flesh to act up, but we have to allow the spirit. And so listen to this verse. Like I said, this is a rough chapter. Look at the next verse. The next verse. Oh, my gosh. In verse 34, look what he says. He says, oh, generation of vipers. Oh, my God. He's calling them snakes. Vipers. I believe it was John the Baptist called them generation of vipers, too.
Yeah.
But he's calling them a generation of snakes. No good, poisonous, deadly snake.
Amen.
That's what he called the religious rulers. Dr. G, I think we have some vipers in the church today.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of them.
A generation.
Amen.
In other words, when you say generation, you come from a long line of vipers.
That's right.
In other words, that corrupt tree has been corrupt down through the generation.
Amen.
He says, you generation, old generations of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, he's tearing them up. You generation of vipers. How in the world can you even think you're going to do something good? Your heart's not right.
Hello.
See, if you preach that today, boy, people would never come back to the church. You stand up in the pulpit today and say, look, all y'all generations of people would never come back.
Amen. You know, and really when you look at the verse, I mean, Jesus was getting rough here. That was his way of cussing folk out without having to cuss folk out. He just told it like it is. You old generation of vipers, snakes. He was getting deep with that bad boy.
He didn't pull any punches.
He didn't pull any punches.
Generation of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? In other words, stop perpetrating a fraud.
Amen.
You talk about, oh, I love the Lord. And I know everybody knows, has a friend or associate, that all they talk about is Jesus.
Hello.
Ain't doing nothing for the Lord.
Come on. Come on.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You see him in church, ain't seen him in 15 years. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I talk about Jesus this, Jesus that, and Jesus this. Ain't did nothing for Jesus. But
Amen.
They use that name. It's
That's
like
right.
You are a generation of vipers. You calling out the name of Jesus and not doing anything for the name of Jesus.
Mm.
Generation of vipers. Perpetrating what? A fraud. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So eventually, you know, you remember that when people say you get a couple drinks and folk, they gonna tell you the truth.
That's right.
Yeah, you get a couple drinks and folk.
Uh huh.
They gonna tell you what they really feel.
Amen.
All of their inhibitions will go out the window because they feeling good. They
Come
say,
on.
Well, you know, I never liked you anyway.
Come on,
what? Man. What'd you say? I don't like you. That's right. You and your family. But that's the spirit of alcohol.
Amen.
That's talking for you, through you. But he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have the love of God in your heart,
amen,
that's how you're going to speak. That's how you're going to treat people. But if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you don't know anything about the Spirit of God, it's going to show up.
Yes, it will.
It'll come out. It'll rear its ugly head.
Yes, it will.
I know a lot of people are, there's a new series, Roots, Rehashing Roots. I forget how many years, 40 years later, something like that. And a lot of people are upset about Roots and why they got to keep showing this and instead of the good things that people of color have contributed, and so people are upset about it because what happens is people are still doing the same thing they did back then.
Amen.
It's like it hasn't gone away.
Nope.
And this is not something that's going to help it go away, but that's in the DNA of our country is this ugly, racist stuff that goes on.
Amen.
It's in the DNA. And the only way that's going to be removed is through the power of the Holy Spirit that can transform people by the renewing of their mind, by the quickening of the spirit, that they would experience the love of God. And so because they have the love of God in their heart and it's shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, then you can be transformed where you're not spewing this hate like this generation of vipers.
Amen.
And so this is what needs to happen. You don't need to rehash that old stupid stuff that went on. People don't need to have that scab and that wound peeled off over and over again. But they need to learn about the Spirit of God that can transform the heart. And so then out of the heart, you can speak out of love, no matter what color you are, if you're black or white or whatever ethnicity you are. But that's the thing about God's word is it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us need God. We need the Spirit of God to renew us so we can be born again with a heart for God. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so if someone has truly been transformed or born again, and they have the heart of God now, then you'll be able to tell that by the fruit of their lips that they're speaking.
Amen. And, you know, you brought up a good point there with all of the talking about the roots and how stuff is just coming up again. You know, people that really want to change can be changed.
Yeah.
But this whole business of racism and as soon as President Obama came in, all kinds of stuff, that racism started creeping up left and right. And then once Trump started running, you know, trying to get that nomination, I mean, you had jokers coming out of the KKK going to endorse this fool. And because he was a vote, Trump wouldn't talk against it. But as you said, you know, people have got to want that change to take place. And when you go back and you think about those days of slavery, those folks didn't want that. They did not want to change. And fast forward to where we are, it was hidden, but it hadn't gone away.
There you go.
It started coming up as soon as that black man got in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been deadly. I mean, in the politicians, in the chamber, folks.
Just yelling, disrespect. You know, they don't even respect the office.
No. Stuff that was being done, and even now, you know, how everything that the president has tried, no. I mean, come on now, let's get real.
And it's the heart. It's where's your
that's
heart?
That's right.
Where's your heart? And so that's when he talks about the generation of vipers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say it's in the DNA of our country, the DNA of our country is racist.
Amen.
And you know, slavery and taking people property and land, it's in our DNA, and you have to deal with it. And the sinner has to recognize that he's fallen short. He's all of sin and come short of the glory of God. You have to deal with what that DNA is. The DNA is that we was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And you know, the Bible talks about how we all sin not after the same manner as Adam and Eve, but in similar manner. We all have that DNA, and the only way to rid ourselves of that DNA is that DNA of sin is through the power of the Spirit of God. And when you can, by faith, accept him as Lord and Savior, then he said, I'll come in and we will make our abode with you. And he said that he would send the Spirit, another comforter, who will not be only with you, but be in you. And so that changes the heart. And then when people are changed, I don't care what color you are, then you have a different eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Paul had to have a different eyesight. The scales fall off eyes, and now you can see clearly the things of God, where before, when you weren't born again, you could only see the things of the world. But when you're born again by the Spirit, you can see things differently. You can behave differently. You can walk and you can talk differently. You have compassion. You have love. And you don't speak to things of hate. You don't speak to things of doubt, but you speak to things of light. Not to say that we're not human, and
right.
From time to time we slip up, but we understand the Word of God that says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's not a thing where we're doomed, but it's a thing we can be renewed by the power and of the blood of Jesus that washes us, continues to wash.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the DNA. So people are like, why are we showing this stuff again?
Amen.
Of this history, it was done. I guess it was Alex Haley. It was done.
Yeah.
You know, people still want to show 12 years of slave. I don't want to see none of that stuff myself. You know, people talk about they want to show it to their families and they want to show history and people of Caucasian or Europeans, they want to show, you know, where it came from. But, you know, showing where it came from is one thing.
Amen.
But doing something about it is something else.
That's right.
And that's why, you know, I don't want to disparage people's rights to be creative and be artistic, but the Spirit of God is the only thing that's going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my focus. You know, I'm not going to focus on how ugly it was and how bad it was. I want to focus on here's what can help you to change you.
Amen.
So that you can speak from the abundance of the heart and speak life to you, that you can be forgiven of that. And a lot of times it's hard for people to realize that they can be forgiven.
Amen.
And that they can move on, and that their hearts can be changed. But you get more of, let's show this stark and what happened in these beatings and this rape and all of this stuff, and it creates anger in people. And I don't think it's productive.
No.
But what people should do is preach the gospel. Preach
Amen.
The good news of the Lord.
Hello.
And then once that heart is changed, you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears, and those who would used to want to slavery and kill and lame and rape and all those things, if God changes their heart and change the heart of the same ethnicity, because you have blacks killing blacks.
Amen.
You have black people brutalizing black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the cure for that? What's the
Amen.
Cure for that DNA?
Amen.
Is the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we focus on the wrong thing.
Amen. I think basically, you know, you pretty much said, I'm going to go back to what Jessica told that little boy in elementary. We need
Jesus. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. I know I ran my mouth a lot tonight, but we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to ask the question. The fruit, what are the fruit we're looking for that will let us know that people have been changed? This Holy Spirit, what does it do? What fruit is produced when the Holy Spirit is in your life? We're going to go to the studio audience first. We're going to have Dr. Brandon. Talk to us, sir.
What was the question again?
The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit when the Holy Spirit is working in someone's life? What are some of the things that you can see a contrast? What is the contrast?
I think from an external standpoint, you can notice it when they walk in a room. I think you guys touched on it earlier about a certain vibe or a certain energy that someone gives off. I think the other thing is the way you approach situations. I mean, we can all sit here and say that it's real easy when everything is going great, but I think when you really know the fruits of basically when the Spirit is actually in someone is when there's turmoil, when there's, we talked about it yesterday on a prayer service about when things go bad, keeping the same positive mindset, being able to work through it, handling it differently than you handled it before, as opposed mm-hmm. to turning to man, you turn to God, or you're not so quick to speak with the tongue, but actually to forgive and understand and assess situations. So I think from an external standpoint, understanding the fruits of basically the Holy Spirit and how it works is you see the change
mm-hmm.
before that person opens their mouth, before there's ever a situation where they're actually tested to see what they would do. But I know me personally, I've noticed the change because I stopped hanging around the same people. The mistakes I made aren't the same mistakes that I've made before. I'm still growing. I'm still learning, but I'm not making the same mistakes. Also, the way that I approach situations and recognize situations, you're able to avoid a lot of things that maybe early on in your Christian walk, you weren't able to do that because you were still learning. And I think you just try to get better each day. And then I know we kind of beat this word over the drum a lot, but it's basically consistency. Things are going to happen. You are going to have your off days, but I think the more consistent you are with coming to prayer service, Bible study, staying in the
yeah.
word, those are things that people can see. And in that way, you can actually be an example to them to say, hey, look, you know, I noticed a change in Brother Brandon. He's not doing this no more. He's walking a little different. He's talking a little different. It must be something with them. And then you can tell people your story about
right.
where you've come from and how God, the Holy Spirit, changed you. So then you can basically recruit people to take the same path that you take on that walk to try to get better and to also be examples to other people to say, look, it doesn't matter where you are, have a mindset of where you want to be and how you want to get there,
mm-hmm.
and each day take gradual steps to ultimately get to that goal.
Right, right.
I always tell my little girl that everything that glitters is in gold. And we all know going to the church, Bible study,
mm-hmm.
Sunday school, we all know what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to do, and we can all act that out. The devil doesn't show himself ugly to us. He shows himself in a beautiful way in the world. So when I'm going to speak about myself because I guess I'm going to say I'm the only sinner up in here, right? But when the pastor preaches, instead of sitting there and saying, that word is for her, or
mm-hmm.
that word is for him, every word is for you.
That's right.
You have to pull something out of everything. Example, last Sunday, we were having an event at the church. There was a homeless person outside. He had a little bit of an attitude, but he said something. And of course, you know, we're trying to help out, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody was like, wow, you know, that was mean, but you still take that word.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we were trying to help, but he said, you know, you church folks,
right.
you guys are sitting pretty in your church.
Right.
And then you take that and you go, wait, I know it was negative, but how can I change that? Instead of sitting in this church, let's go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's show people what Christians, real Christians
Amen.
Are.
Amen.
We could act it out. We could say the right thing, but it doesn't mean that's in our heart.
Right.
We have to really work inside. We have to work on that. We have to allow the Spirit to work.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we can say the fruit is, what we say and how we treat other people. But really, I can make it look good. But if
mm-hmm.
that's not what is inside of me,
right.
God knows that.
Yeah.
So we have to really work from the inside. We could act it out all day long. But if it's not inside of us, and we have to, it's everybody that has to work on that. If you say you're done working, then there's a problem.
That's a problem.
You have to work from the beginning all the way to the end.
The problem.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Go to the phone line. Last four digits on the phone line is 7348. 7348, you are on the air. 7348.
Good evening. My comment is just simply that. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, my comment is just simply that when you say how do we tell the fruit, is basically I think that actions speak louder than words. People can tell you anything, but at the end of the day, the way that people behave will ultimately tell you a lot about their character and who they are. And especially when people are in moments of distress, when they get angry, it's often been said that pressure busts fights. And so when you put people in a pressure situation, you really find out who they are and what they're working with.
Amen. All right. Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to last four digits, 6726. 6726, you are on the air.
Hi, good evening to everyone. You can pretty much tell about the fruits of the Spirit by the life, you know, the life that you lived before versus the life you live now. You don't hang out with the same crowd. You don't want to do the same thing. For me, it was, and I'm still working on it. For me, it's my temper. Anyone that knows mm-hmm. me knows that at times I've been a hothead and mm-hmm. the rage. I've asked God to work on the rage, and there's been situations where I'm at work and, you know, you just get tired and frustrated with people asking you the same questions and things that come in here. But I deal with it because I know as a child of God, I have to deal with it. There's some things that I'm not even going to be expecting that's going to take place. And you know the saying is 10% of what happens and 90% of how you handle it. So,
yeah.
I just try not to react anymore. I laugh. And I don't want to laugh at people. But, you know, when you see that rascal Satan coming and you know he's there, you know he's trying to get your goat and get you to do something that you know you shouldn't do, you just smile and turn and walk away. And it's the love that you have for people. You know, you're willing to help them out. Years ago, I wasn't willing to help out the homeless. Now, you know, I look at them, I talk to them, you know, and then even a thief that comes in this store, and I ask him, I said, why do you have to steal? You know, you're mm-hmm. a grown man. He says, I need to support myself and my family. I said, well, okay, I'm going to do something to try to help you, you know. Mm-hmm. And to a certain degree, it's work. He don't come in the store and steal anymore. So I don't know, you know, what it is, but I know that I always want to have the Holy Spirit in me, because when Curtis Anthony Robinson has the Holy Spirit in him, things just go off his back, go down his back, or right. however you want to say it. When he doesn't have it in him, you know, that rage may come out, or anger may come out. So it's a working process for me, and just you all pray for me. You know, I'm growing daily. And thank you. That's all I have
Amen.
To say.
Amen. Thank you for Amen. Your comments tonight. And go to the last four digits, 9772. 9772, you are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. It's kind of hard to say that because I just love the way life and where you fall into Jesus' hand. And you watch the Holy Spirit. And you never knew what the Holy Spirit was, but you heard it, but you never used it. But now it just mm-hmm. falls to me all the time. I can just see it falling in. It's so funny. I didn't know what it was, mm-hmm. but I know it now. And when the devil pops up in front of you, you just call on Jesus, and the Holy Spirit just goes in and just, it's so funny that you never knew what they were, but now you know what it is when it said God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Jesus and the Holy Spirit always popping in my life, and I have changed my life for a long time. And I was doing Amen. Wrong, and now I'm on the right road. And I'm so happy. And see how the Spirit holds me and just make me laugh. That when the devil jumps on me, he just come along and just be still and let me do my job. It's so funny. I'm thankful that I'm on my road.
Amen.
That's all I can say.
Thank you for your comment tonight.
All right.
All right, we're going to go last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I tried very much to ask God to help me, ask the Holy Spirit to help me facing a trying situation there. And when the Holy Spirit bring the word back to me, the word comes alive, and I remember what I have learned and what has been taught, and try to apply that word to the situation that I'm dealing with now, that's what encouraged me and helped me so much. We have to constantly ask God to continue to let His Holy Spirit work with us, and let that word come alive, that we can apply it to real life issues in our life. There are times it's easy to say things when you're not facing certain difficult issues, but when you're going through,
right,
that's when that word comes alive in your life, and you really trust and you believe that God's going to let you apply it. I always try to remind myself that someone is looking at you, and through it all, maybe someone will come to Christ. So I try to keep that in mind as I go through difficult situations.
Amen. That's so important. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
When you're speaking of the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is love, and all eight of the Spirit speak of love. And as a Christian, when you have made a change in your life, in your walk, you try to live and be consistent in your everyday life, regardless to what the situation is. You always reflect back to God's word. What would God do? And when love's in your heart, situations come up, whether they be good, bad, and sometimes they can really get to you. But when you can be meek and humble, when you can be gentle and be a person of good character, today's world is unheard of. People live all kind of lives, and when you live a good life, and you try to strive to do the things that you know God is expecting out of you, that's when the fruits pop up. If you're on the right track, and if you make it a part of everyday life, being kind, being compassionate, wanting peace in your life, and when you see someone else that are going through things, and you can step out there on faith and assist that person, make their life a little much easier, these are the kind of things that show that you are a child of God. You don't have to open your mouth. It's just by your action and how you live your life and how you would want someone else to have that same peace and comfort in their life. And you strive for that. It comes from the heart. It's knowing that God gave it to you. You need to share it with somebody else.
Amen.
It's not easy, because a change comes over you. And when that change comes over you and God has put it there, that's when you are to exercise it in your everyday life, to let your light shine in somebody else's life.
There you go.
And these are the fruits that God is speaking of when He speaks of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in your life as a Christian. That should show in every situation in your life. And if you do it, and do it constantly in your Christian walk, it comes easier and makes you much more comfortable in your spiritual walk with God.
Amen.
Going by those, knowing them, you got to know them. It's a difference in just saying it. We know the Holy Spirit, what He is, but then when you're speaking of the fruits, they're there too. And if you don't know how can you execute them in your walk and in your life every day? And we do it, but we don't even know it. Sometimes we don't even know when we're doing it, because we don't know the fruits. But when you know them and you make that a part of everything you do in your life as a Christian, it shows somebody can look at you and say, there's a difference. They see the God.
There is a difference.
They see the love in you. They see the peace in you. They see the joy
mm-hmm.
in you, the meekness. It all comes out. It's automatic because you make that a part of you. Your everyday
right.
life. It's a good life. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your
mm-hmm.
comment tonight. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. I know we had a few more callers on the line, but we don't want to keep you long. We're going to talk some more about this on next week, about this fruit, Dr. G, that God says it should be obvious. We should know the fruit, the tree by the fruit that it bears,
mm-hmm.
and we definitely should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Dr. G, any last words? And close us out in prayer, please.
Well, the only thing I would say is that, as all the callers said, you know, Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, but this is an everyday affair. You can, okay, you let the Spirit in on Monday, but on Tuesday you're going to walk it alone. It just don't work like that. So see, when you take a break from allowing the Spirit of God to move and work, then the enemy can come in, and sin is still sin. You know, you can easily get tripped up. That's why we say that, you know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is a daily walking, striving,
mm-hmm.
where you strive to be better. None of us have reached perfection, but you've got to grow at it, and you've got to allow the Spirit to come in. But, you know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open
right.
that door,
that's
I will
right.
come in and sup with him. So we've got to open the door to our hearts and allow the Spirit to come in. And once we have it
mm-hmm.
inside, it will make the change
yeah.
within you. That you won't act the same. You won't cuss folk out like you. Instead of cussing out a whole 10 to 15, maybe you won't cuss them out for 5 minutes. So, you know, it's a growing process. It's a daily renewing. You got to let the Spirit in every day.
Amen.
If not, all it takes is one sin that can trip you up. With that, we're going to ask everyone to bow their heads with us. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you again, O Lord. We thank you for another evening, O Lord, that we could go through your word and learn something. Father, we thank you for not giving up on us, but Lord, we thank you for also being stern with us. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, letting
yes,
us
Lord.
Know that if we blaspheme
Ooh.
Against the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
that's the one sin that will not be forgiven. Father, we pray right now that we might come to grips with this thing and not be like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And Lord, I pray that we might take your word at heart. Help us, O Lord, to continue to let the Spirit change us and move within our hearts, that it will help us to see life in a different light. Father, we thank you right now
thank
for
you.
Those that have come out. I thank you for those that called in. And Father, we pray that as we prepare to leave,
mm-hmm.
that you would watch over us, that you would give us another day tomorrow, if
yes.
it's your will. And Lord, I'm praying that as we awaken, that we might open our eyes and let the Spirit take over. Father, we ask these and all of the blessings
mm-hmm.
and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you next Thursday night.